Hey, it is Wednesday night. This is now March the 9th, 2011. Great to be with you tonight. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. And listen, whether you're listening by internet, whether you're listening by satellite, or later on by the archives, we want to welcome you, knowing that this is a supernatural, providential hour. We know that God intends it for the good. And that's a good thing to everyone listening right now. God intends that this hour be a very good hour. We ask the Lord to stretch out his hand to save, heal, and deliver. Crush the work of the dark side and all of its deception. Open eyes. That's what we'd love to see all across the board. How about you? Hey, thanks for the letters. Thanks for the emails. Thanks for the Facebook mentions. Guess what? We are... It looks like we're in the beginning stages of being invited to come to Montana. Now, as that develops for a conference, when that develops, we'll tell you more about it. We're looking forward to it, and that would be absolutely incredible. We've had quite a few that have asked from that area, when are we coming? When are we going to get up there? So anybody in that area, just begin to pray about it, and we will let you know how that develops. Conference-wise. Now, don't forget this month, because it's this month, the conference in Connecticut in the New England area. We want you to come to that. It is March, and it is just, well, less than 20 days away. We have it here as the 25th, 26th, 27th. Connecticut. And just click on what is called the CSEE conference, and you can also, next to it, how to register, and there's a PDF flyer. Don't forget that. Now, actually, the very next week, right after this is done, the Politics of Religion, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, that's going to be, they're going to be really two different kind of events. In Connecticut, L.A. Marzulli is going to be there, Russ Dizdar, I'll be there, and Richard Grund will be there, and we take a look at the information, but also take a look at the Politics of Religion, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're looking at some really incredible individuals, book authors, and once again, as we've been going to these conferences and joining others on some of the cutting edge issues that have to be dealt with, well, we've found that just hundreds and hundreds of you across the nation, I would say collectively out of the conferences last year, have come from about 25 different states to be drawn into some of these small conferences. So we're glad that you come. They are different than just listening live, though we love doing this and know this is part of the calling. We're in the middle of a week right now on a Wednesday night. The theme for this week, alert, impending danger ahead. Now, everybody can realize that's what we know. That's what is there. And so much is in the scripture that tells us, but let me tell you something, what biblical prophecy tells us is coming will have the in-your-face, the developments will be occurring all around us. These things shall occur. A great chaos, an antichrist, a false prophet, an abyss opened, an Armageddon attempted. Well, all of these things, they're coming down the pike. Now, again, we're talking about the information coming from the Spirit of God. Infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, and this is vital information across the board. There is now a massive body of writings and prophecy that is absolutely counterfeit to the original. It speaks of, a counterfeit future. That's exactly what occurred in the garden, in the beginning, at the fall of the human race. Listen, it really matters what spirit you're listening to. It really matters what doctrine you are embracing, what teaching, didache, you are embracing, what spiritual experience. Today, I was reminded by an email yesterday by Julie, appreciated Julie, concerning Barbara Marks Hubbard. Now, I've mentioned before and read materials and mentioned her in my book, but reading her materials again and then going to listen to her directly. Pretty amazing. Now, I appreciate Julie sending this over, and others since that time have, but this is part of the body of information she has out there. Listen to the words of Barbara Marks Hubbard. She's probably around 80-some years old and one of the foundational writers of the New Age movement. The church, the body of Christ, must understand that there is the largest collective counterfeit spiritual movement in the entire history of the church all around us. There's been nothing like it. Now, there's been the Nicolaitans, there's the Gnostics, mystics along the way, liberalism, and neo-orthodoxy, things like that along the way. But this is a spiritual collective worldwide. It all began in the late 1800s, really, and the writings continued up through 1930s and on from there. The largest body of spiritual writings, New Age writings. The belief in a coming New World Order. Now, of course, more and more of their materials coming out. There's going to be a great chaos. And now we're seeing that they're going to help be the, they're going to implement the chaos by their spiritual evolutionary process. And by joining that process, the evolving universe, as some of them call it, then that involves a cleansing. That involves a getting rid of, now listen to this, 1/4 of humanity. Barbara Marks Hubbard. I'm looking at videos all day today of her, off and on, and other materials, and I'm going to have to do an entire week-long series. Unbelievable to see another human being embrace didache of daimonia. Doctrines of the demons, whether planos spirits or cosmocrators, ascended masters, spirit guides. Well, the Spirit of God said they would come in the end of days with the goal to deceive many. Barbara Marks Hubbard has embraced. Now listen, in order to embrace those dark spirits, you have to at first reject. Reject God and God's revelation in every aspect of God and God's revelation. Then you'll have to listen to the reinterpretation or the reframing, and then you'll have to take and embrace the replacement. Barbara Marks Hubbard, along with many thousands of New Age leaders around the world, have not only embraced the concept of rejecting God and the revelation of God in Christ, in His Word, by the Spirit of God, God's agenda, God's love. Well, there's then a reframing by the dark side, and then there is a replacement. And Barbara Marks Hubbard is preaching and promoting the replacement, a counterfeit God, the universe, a counterfeit Christ, we are, and de-deified, and Christ just an example, counterfeit salvation, instead a spiritual transformation. Has nothing to do with connecting you to God. But in this body of literature, Spirit-given body of literature, now listen, the prophecies of finite fallen spirits in counterfeit to the prophecy that God has given about the future layers humanity and will lead humanity, listen, into a unified, a critical mass, a world consciousness. Because that presence is becoming, well, global, unified, in minds and hearts, leaking into literature and media and films and political ideology and military development and, well, listening again today. Part of that body of material says that they've got to get rid, and they will help get rid of 1/4 of the human race. And the quote that Julie reminds me of is right here. Listen to it. Barbara Marks Hubbard. We are the riders of the pale horse. We come to bring death. we destroy. This is said to be a quote from Barbara Marx Hubbard while working with military Satanist Temple of Set founder Michael Aquino towards a new world order agenda. Well, let me say again, welcome to this Wednesday night. Listen, this is not about, this is the heads up. This is the heads up to tell you that just like Jesus said, he would build his church, but the gates of hell itself would not prevail against it. And so I speak to the believer in Christ that this is a call to become stronger and bolder and more powerful and more active than you've ever been in all of your life. There's no greater power, no greater mission, no greater love, no greater truth than what's dwelling in you, given to you by God in Christ. Tonight on Wednesday night, we're doing this part of the series, The Church and the Impending Danger Coming Ahead. The past, the present, future, spiritual warfare for the body of Christ. Listen to me now. I've gone to many conferences a couple of years ago, last year about six of them, and have spoken for years, 30 years in churches and church. And I've asked the question again and again. Let me ask you tonight, what do you know about spiritual warfare? Are you engaged in spiritual warfare? There are times that I've been at conferences where I've asked this question, are you engaged in spiritual warfare? And the majority of people didn't know. They didn't know whether they could raise their hand. They didn't know how to discern. When I asked, do you know your authority? The majority, 90%, did not. When I asked, do you have the armor of God on? 75 to 80% didn't know if they did or did not, or what exactly was the armor of God. And we're talking about believers that just, well, in one case, spent an hour in prayer and in worship, fired up. And I needed to ask the question. Because the body of Christ, if all we do is pick out the things that we like, if all we do is become selective, if we become the Lord of what we learn, the Lord of what we receive, the Lord of what we put into practice, then the Lordship of Jesus Christ has been thrown out. And the authority and power and blessing of the Word of God has been set aside. We have become selectors. A lot of the Western church has done that, in that we've made the body of Christ, we made the Bible itself like going to a local smorgasbord or Ryan's restaurant, you know, where they have just rows and rows and rows and rows of food, and you just go through with your plate and you pick out what you want. If you want all chicken, have all chicken. If you want all fish, have all fish. If you want a plate of macaroni and cheese, have that. You get to choose. What happened to the Lordship of Christ? What happened to that he is God and we are not? When did we have the right to rise up, throw Jesus off the throne, sit on ourselves and decide, you know what, all we want is this scripture and that scripture and this scripture, and we want to avoid this massive body of literature in the scripture? To where, listen, we're not just half-baked spiritually. We're like 10% baked, 90% uncooked spiritually. That we haven't gone through the process of learning everything that God says. Do you remember the Great Commission, Matthew 28? Jesus talks about all authority in heaven and earth is given to him. And we're to go into all the world, all the nations, the ethnos, the nations, and we're to make disciples. We're to make disciples, you know, worldwide. The gospel is to go worldwide, and we're to baptize them. Then it says, and to teach them, very important now, this is in the Greek. Two words, everything whatsoever I've taught you. We're to teach every disciple to obey, to observe, to do everything whatsoever that God has given us, that Christ has given us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You can't do that if you're not receiving it, putting it into practice, and not just selective pieces. Is there great power in praise and worship? You better believe it. Is there great power and God's presence in prayer? Yes. Is there great joy? Well, it says in Scripture at times it can be unspeakable, glorious, full of joy. I know that. I know that experience. I know what it is to be overwhelmed, undone in His presence. And listen, every day in His presence. Matter of fact, we learn that God's presence in Christ in us is unceasing, unbroken. Right now. If you're a believer in Christ. But what about the words of Jesus, Matthew 16, in discussing with Peter when he acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ, and Jesus says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail, notwithstand the onslaught of the aggressive sent out church. It's the church that's on the move. The church is on the side of action, and the church is launched by the sheer fact of evangelism. It will grow. It will advance. But Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now that is a declaration of the indestructible nature of the church. No matter what Israel has gone through, is going through, will go through, guess what? Ultimately indestructible, in the end, the promises to Israel will be fulfilled. When it comes to the nature of the church, no matter what it's been through, no matter what it's gone through, the Corinthian church, weak and backslidden, carnal, you know, the Ephesian church, the Thessalonican church that had slipped and worried and got panicked over the day of the Lord. You know what? The body of Christ, the church, declared by its head, its founder, the one who died and shed his blood for it, the one who's the living operative head of it, is indestructible. And will demonstrate Christ's victory in the end, in the second coming. As a matter of fact, future prophecy, this is part of the word of hope for today. Future prophecy, because the church's mission is destined for the world, to reach the world, that Christ's visible return, he won't even come back until the world has been reached. And future prophecy tells us that there are going to be people in heaven, from every tribe, every language, every nation, every people group, that is a clear declaration that the mission of the body of Christ, of the ecclesia, the church, well, it's been accomplished worldwide. And so it's very important that we understand what the body of Christ, what the church is all about. Let me come to it in just a moment. Saying again, welcome to everybody. If you're new, this is Russ Dizdar. The website to go to, www.shatterthedarkness.net. For those who are benefited and believe in this work and the mission, one place we can tell you to go, the support tab, that will take care of what we do to keep ourselves out there. There's going to be no commercials. There's going to be no products during this hour. Let me say also that it's vital we understand not only the what the church is and where it's been placed, the nature of the church, the calling of the church, but also the promises. Those are the four things I want to go over. The church, nature of the church, calling of the church, promises. This tonight is providentially for every believer in Christ, to those of you in Russia and the Czech Republic and France. You know, it's getting to the point where I could begin to name friends that have been emailing, and we've been emailing back and forth. I have someone in South Africa that wants me to do a prayer deliverance over the phone. I have another friend that we're going to probably try to talk to clear around the world. And so all over the world, and to the professors, plural I say now, in China, and to those of you in, well, to a dear individual that's very concerned about her area, Victoria, British Columbia. Now, thank you to a sister down in Columbus, Ohio. Many others across the United States, out of Canada, all around. They're in Iceland, in Ireland, in Scotland, in England, and On and on and on I could go. Let me tell you something. What's happening is these messages are being downloaded in up to 90 countries of the world. Many of you that have become prayer, I mean, you've joined. I haven't really, you know, put a thing out there to say be a prayer partner, things like that. But obviously, so many of you constantly write me and constantly let me know. I am grateful, and I do know that it is. See, I stand in prayer asking, God, grant me those who will pray for this work for one reason, to reach as far as we can into the lives of hundreds of thousands for the salvation of their lives, the benefit of being built up in Christ, their part of the body of Christ, their protection, and for literally millions worldwide to know about the impending dangers. There's no other body of literature that tells you exactly what will occur than what the Spirit of God has given. And so we have a lot of that to bring out. In contrast to the highest ramping up of counterfeit spirituality, spiritual doctrines, spiritual prophecies, there is an agenda so vast, so broad, that it's right beneath the surface of the deep. Well, literally, like the New Age movement, that's on the surface, hundreds of millions worldwide. Underneath the surface are the real blood-shedding, demon-worshipping, real Luciferians. Now, both sides of you, you listen to some of these. Believe it or not, a young girl, she might be listening tonight, has written to me, she's a Satanist, wrote me a long note. I'm going to respond to her. And she's telling me about her. She actually went to our website. On the left-hand side, we have a bunch of courses and seminars that we've taught. They're all free. You can get, if you don't get to some of these courses that we teach locally, you can get them free. And we have a course on Exposing Satanism 101. And it's about 25 hours. She actually went through it. She said she went through the course and other material. And this young girl has, it's pretty strange that she's at our website going through everything when she's declaring herself to be a Satanist and also telling me in this email that she sends me not to try to witness to her. Pretty interesting. Now listen, if she knew any taste of the love of God, then she would know that that's almost totally impossible for those filled in love. Listen, I don't know. I mean, there's methods of witnessing. Prayer's a major part of that. Major part. Dear individual put me a note on Facebook tonight about their son, and I will join them in prayer. And to everybody that I do get to, I try to join you in prayer and pray for you. And those that I email back, I put my hand on that screen. I literally do. I pray for you. I pray. And but I know that we can't, and that's the tough thing, get to everybody. But you know who can? Jesus. He's Lord. He's King. He's, you know, true in all that he said. Ask, you're going to receive. Seek, you're going to find. Knock, the door will be opened. That's just how it is. And so you can come with confidence before that throne of grace. Seek the Lord. If you're a believer in Christ, this 1 hour is dedicated for you to hear. Number one, the church, ecclesia. It's used about 95 times in the New Testament. It simply means called out assembly, called out people. We are the called out ones. We are called out of sin, called out of Satan's realm of authority, called out of the fallen world system. We're called out, but we're also called into. Matter of fact, if you read in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we have all been baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. We've been baptized with the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We're part of the body. It is called the body of Christ or the church. Now, it's very important for us to understand that the church literally is simply the people of God. When anybody receives Christ as Lord and Savior, Christ's life. You know what? I didn't even know it that night in my basement when I accepted Christ. The Spirit of God came in. I didn't understand later. Now, I was drawn to go to a local fellowship, but I didn't realize I was baptized into the body of Christ. The moment you get saved, you are placed into the body of Christ. You can read about it, 1 Corinthians 12. You can read the book of Ephesians chapter 3 when Paul says that he kneels before the Father, from whom the whole family of God, in heaven and on earth derive its name. We've got millions of our brethren, sistren, in heaven, and here on the face of the earth. You and I, brothers and sisters in Christ. Most of you, without question, I've not met. Most of you, I may never meet. But I know one thing. If you know the living Christ and the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, whether you're a weak believer, a powerful believer, you've got to understand you've been placed into the body. You are part of this thing called the church. Now, I've got to tell you something here when I say, what is the church and where was it placed? If you're reading it all in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, when Jesus says, I will build my church. Whose is it? His. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Literally, the concept will not withstand the onslaught of the church. That's the idea. We've been placed not to be part of, but we are placed in the world. We're told to go into the world and make disciples, go to all the world and preach the good news. We're to go to the world, to the highways and the byways. The Great Commission launches the church. It has been placed and it's operative in the world. But it's also operative. Now listen, physically, visibly, it's operative in the world. I could be talking to believers and they're listening to us in Moscow or in Beijing or in Hong Kong or in Manila or Bangkok or there in Paris or London. I can probably name a few hundred other cities. And when I say this, if you're a believer, you've been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body. Now, Romans 8 says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. Are you saved? Do you know what that means? Christ dwelling in you, totally forgiven. The sin nature has been broken and rendered powerless, Romans 6. Satan's chains have been broken and you've been placed into God's kingdom, Colossians chapter 1. You have been indwelt by the living Christ, by the Spirit of God. God now dwells in you, and the new nature and new empowerment. And so when I say, are you saved? Are you born of the Spirit of God? If you're born again, you've been also baptized in that body of Christ. You're part of it. Whether you're going to a physical structure or not, please let me tell you this. You are baptized into the body of Christ. You are under the lordship of the founder and head of the body of Christ, the church, the ecclesia. And it has been launched out into the world. It's here in the world, not to be of it. But also it is in and launched in the context of where the gates of hell are. You see, a lot of us have this concept of hell being, what, you know, down the center of the earth or, you know, way down there where the real power is. Well, what good will it do down there? It's right here, spiritually, on the surface of this planet. It is the gates of hell, that full force of and stronghold and where the God of this age has the rights to 1 John 5 to be in control of the whole fallen world system. So we've been, we are the church, the body of Christ, baptized into it, born of the Spirit of God in Christ. And we have been launched into a fallen world system right directly into the face of the full presence, operating power, and growing agenda of the dark side. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a believer in Christ, Christ launched his church right into spiritual battle. He knew what he was doing. A lot of us, maybe unless you came from something, maybe you came out of Satanism, maybe you came out of the New Age, maybe you've come out of paganism, maybe you've come out of something, you know what the dark side's all about. You know how real it is. those of you who've been delivered from demonic presence like a spiritual splinter in your soul. It's been plucked out by the, well, love, compassion, and authority of Christ. No question about that. Now, it's vital that we understand tonight that when we're talking about being in this fallen world system, right into the presence of the gates of hell, then understand the nature of the church. Now, listen, for those who are new, on the website, we have a mini cast in the beginning of the week to tell you, give you kind of an overview. There's also a PDF file that if you want the notes to download and be able to write things down. I love, that's what I do with books. You know, we had a flood here. They just took out hundreds of my books and they're now in bags. They're all mold and chemicals and they're in bags outside. We lost more than we thought. And this is going to go on for weeks and weeks. So we're going to be operating in a secondary place, maybe even a third area, for probably to the middle of April. But I was telling the fellow today that was talking to me that what I do with a lot of books all around me right here where I'm sitting, I'm engaging them, writing them. It's interactive. The Spirit of God inside, the Word of God is my grid, and I'm interacting and looking. So I do a lot of research on what the dark side is doing. A lot of the contrast, because the problem is this. The dark side has the audacity to want to come right into the church, to have the agenda to get us to reject the original, listen to the reframing, and be offered a replacement. That's happened in liberalism. That's happened in the emergent church. That's happening in this Michael Dowd universe, evolving universe, you know, Unitarian. That's the new age. And there, you've got to understand Matthew 4. Satan himself comes and literally tries to get the living Christ, Christ, God in human flesh, to turn from what he is. Bow down to the finite, fallen cherub Satan. Notice, I'm going to say this quietly, okay? Listen. Satan, because most people, even in spiritual warfare, don't understand this principle. When Satan comes to get you to reject God, the original Word of God, listen to his reframing, that is the seductive, seducing work, reframing of everything, and offer a replacement. You know what he did? I think a lot of you listening right now, you understand there is Luciferian doctrine or doctrines of demons. Where do you find that? 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit of God said that there would be, in the end of days, this massive amount of, they're called planos, imposters, seducers. Their goal, deceive as many as possible. Hundreds of millions to the point of billions. Take some of them and use them as vessels to bring about spirit-inspired doctrine. Didache of daimonia. And they'd love to get that into our lives. They'd love to get that into the body of Christ. They'd love to replace the doctrine of God, the teaching of God, the Word of God with the doctrine of Satan, the teaching of Satan. Both are inspired. Luciferian, New Age writings, occult writings. You can look at all these older writers and newer writers. They know they have spirit guides. They know they have an ascended master, some kind of spirit guide, and they're guided and they're led and they're inspired by those fallen finite. They can call them a spirit guide. They can call it an ascended master. They can call it a Tibetan. But we're talking planos. We're talking cosmocrata. We're talking daimonoi. We're talking demon. They're real entities, they can communicate, and they counterfeit the inspiration of the Word of God. I believe within the body of Christ, have no clue. Now, I think this is important when we deal with the calling of the church. Did you know that part of the calling of the church is to expose the evil deeds, the works of the dark side. Ephesians 5. That's what we're supposed to do. Not run from it, not hide it, not ignore it. By running from it, hiding from it, ignoring it, one, we disobey the word of God. Two, we give free rein, unabated rein. By our silence, by our fear, we aid and abet the developing, encroaching, ramping up of the dark sides, didache of daemonia and all the experiences that leads to the great chaos, to the great coming persecutions against the church, to the great destruction of one-fourth of humanity. And New Agers, with smiling faces, are proclaiming that their spirituality, their spirits, they are guiding them to that conclusion and that it's a good thing. Tell that to the folks at Auschwitz, Dachau, to Russian Christians who were tortured. You ever read the book Marx and Satanism? Richard Wambrandt, tortured for Christ. Do you realize in China, do you realize in countries around the world, in Islamic nations all over, there is a spirit-inspired hatred of real believers? They don't care about liberals, they don't care about New Agers, they don't care about deniers and so forth. They care about those who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Let me tell you right now, the demons, the dark side, Satan himself knows whether you're a real believer or not. Satan has promises. Matthew 4, Satan promised Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he would but bow down. A lot of rock stars out there in their dark side encounters, you know, Black Oak Arkansas, the Rolling Stones, many others, many of the Scandinavian satanic bands, Lords of Chaos, many of you have, you've got into spiritual experiences and even rituals and even sought that rituals be done for the popularity of your music, for the popularity of, wow, sold our souls to the devil. Nazareth sang a song like that. Ozzy said something like that. Do you really know what you're doing? I mean, Satan will promise you whatever it is he perceives is the weakness, what you might want. Jesus is coming to be Lord of the nations to bring healing. He's the Prince of Peace that is going to bring the healing to the nations. He's going to bring the healing. He's bringing the actual real new age where all war stops, the healing of the nations and the environment, everything else, and then a new heaven and a new earth is coming by the hands of the Prince of Peace, of God who came and died on that cross for us. The counterfeit comes prior, proclaiming promises. New Agers, listen to me. That dark side collective spiritual, agenda around the world has brought promises of a new age, of an evolution to deity, of a new consciousness, of a cleansing of the earth. I'm going to tell you right now that if it's come from Hell's Kitchen, just like in the beginning, just like Satan encountering Christ himself, you have been boldly lied to. It's a spiritual presence that said to Eve, oh, you can be just like God, godlike, deity. You can get this knowledge that you don't have right now. Liar. It's all a lie. And the lie that will come, well, in this building, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is important to understand. I'll do something in depth on this. A collective critical mass consciousness. You've got to understand that the concept of the unity of the world will be a spiritual belief system. The political, military, economic, environmental binding will come from a spiritual system, not from God. Counterfeit to God, counterfeit savior, counterfeit word, counterfeit salvation, counterfeit giftings, counterfeit enhancements, counterfeit age, counterfeit developments. So when you think in terms of the church, where it's placed, and the time period we are in right now, then you've got to understand something, the nature of the church. The nature of the church. It is spiritual and supernatural. I mean, just look at the book of Acts. They had to wait till the promise of the Father came, clothed with power from on high. From that moment, you see the launching out of the body of Christ. You see thousands that get saved, people that get healed, the dead get raised. You see the power and sign and wonder of God. You see this happen in chapter 2. You see that God's power comes again on the body of Christ that is praying, quoting scripture. So much power came that the physical building they were in shook. It is a spiritual body. It is a supernatural body. It is the most supernaturally empowered, endued people on the face of the earth. Now, that's what I'm going to say, number two, in this segment. The body of Christ, the church, is a people. Redeemed, yes, that could be from China. That could be from, it doesn't make any difference where you're coming from, red, yellow, black, or white. Doesn't make any difference at all. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. You got to understand the absolute global approach God brings. God, gar, the word gar there, gar, for God so loved the world. That is, in the expression of the Greek, a massive thing. God, think of this. It's as if the scripture would say, think of this. God so loved the world. Red, yellow, black, or white. The Great Commission, go to the nations. Go to the highways and byways. Jesus taught this in the Gospels, that he would not return visibly until this message, this gospel, this passion of God was taken to every single people group, every nation, every language, every tribe worldwide. The body of Christ is never a building. I don't care if you have the greatest cathedral-looking building. I once pastored what was once one of the largest churches in the world, years and years ago. Now, I wasn't a part of it back that day. I came many years later, and it became a massively powerful thing. Your local fellowship, I don't care if it's meeting in a barn, in a basement. It could be a house church. But the church is people, but it's also visible. The local body gathering is a visible group. It is the temple of God. It is the naos. We can read about this in Corinthians. We can read about this in Ephesians, that we are the naos, the temple of God. God dwells in the body. There is something special about when two or three come gathering in the name of Christ, that he, in a manifest presence, I mean, when I gather, you know what? When I go on Sunday, I could do a Bible study. I've done Bible studies for 30 years in my home where we have packed out places, or homes were packed out everywhere, or where we have 20 or 15 or 8. And it can be, like in some of our shatter teams, when we do the reap trip things we do, it can be 4 or 5 people packed into a car. And there we begin to acknowledge the living presence of Christ. He's with us and going to operate in us, operate through us, be there. And we launch into worship, launch into prayer, and launch out into ministry. Now, let me tell you something, because we're the body. We all go to different churches, local, visible churches, some larger and some smaller. But we're all part worldwide, whether you're Russian, whether you're Chinese, whether you're down in Kenya, wherever you're at, if you're a believer, great news, great joy. And here's a great story I was told years ago, where actually Air Force One pilot, United States pilot, taking the president to Russia many years ago, when they were there, he had gone out of the hotel down the street among the people for a little bit. This is the pilot. He listened, somebody was whistling a familiar Christian hymn. And through the crowd, he located the man that was whistling the hymn. He got through the crowd and grabbed a hold of the man. And he recognized the hymn very well, was able to sing it also. He looked at the man and he pointed to his heart and to heaven and tried to acknowledge that Christ lives in his heart, that he knows God. And the Russian that was singing the song pointed to heaven and pointed to his heart. They couldn't speak the same language. But then again, the language in Christ, in the Spirit, united them and they were filled with joy. Incredible. Now, that's the nature. Spiritual, supernatural, it's a people, it's visible, it's the temple of God. But now let's look at the calling quickly. And we've got to understand this. See, there's been people asking me, because I pastored, well, four specific churches in 30-year, you know, a 30-year history. Seen great things done, great, massive growth. Thousands saved, but also have seen a lot of troublesome times, too. We've seen both sides of it. Spiritual warfare, flesh, good things, all of that. You live through all of that. Now, people have asked me, are you going to start, Russ, are you going to start churches? They want me to, but I don't feel led at this point. You're going to start a lot of home shatter churches. Well, I don't know. That's a concept we're praying about. What I'm telling you this is that just saying, well, I sit home by myself and read my Bible, that's not the body of Christ per se. You're part of the body, but you're not part of the body. You're not with any part of the body. We're not to forsake the assembling, the gathering. Now, let me tell you something, because the calling of the church involves what? Number one, five things quickly. Number one, the lordship of Jesus Christ. It is under the head, Jesus Christ. You can read Colossians chapter 1. The church is under the lordship and the head, Christ. Number two, it has been launched out into a fallen world directly into spiritual battle. That needs to be in discipleship literature. Day one, we are born again in a midst of a battle. Satan had rights on you when you were lost. Did you know that? You read 1 Colossians or Colossians chapter 1, and you read how when you came to Christ, there was a transferring, literally the Greek word, a ripping up and out of the domain authority, exousia, the authority of Satan, and put into the basileia, the rule, the reign, the kingdom of God when you came to Christ. You've got to understand the nature of salvation is, yes, you are forgiven. Yes, Christ lives in you. Yes, God loves you. Now you are a child of God. Now the presence of the Spirit of God is inside. Now the gift of eternal life is there. But you've been, the sin nature has been snapped. Satan's rights has been broken. Hell's rights broken. Death's rights ultimately broken. But you and I, we've been launched into a spiritual battle. If you got saved and went straight to heaven, well, that would be pretty easy. I think it's pretty easy in heaven. I do. I believe that. It's here where the battle is. The church, you and I, launched directly into the face of the gates, full force, full collective force, operating presence of hell itself. Number three, there in the notes. Well, the calling of the church is to be a dwelling place where God manifests. Again, as I launch back into the book of Acts this week and doing that series, that training, we're going to see that in the book of Acts, the body of Christ, whether it was a small group in one place or a larger group over here, or some say in history, at Antioch, the church grew to about 150,000. I know of a church in Nigeria they talk about. I don't know it well, but I know that they say there's 2 million members. I know a church in Seoul, Korea, they say, has about 1 million members in one local. Now, in that one I studied, they have also like 60,000 small home groups. And ultimately, I think there's going to be a lot of home groups. Many of you listening right now might be in a home group. You see, again, it has nothing to do with the building or even the size. You could have a 10,000-member church, and it'd be spiritually impotent and weak and liberal and backslidden and carnal. It doesn't make any difference about the numbers, per se. I know of a 10,000-member church that, well, there's a lot of people to look at it, but 10,000 members and millions of dollars and 20 full-time staff and only a very few people can get, you know, they actually get saved during the year. What's up with that? You see, if you're going to be creating and feel led to have a church in your home, there's nothing wrong with that. In a barn, in a basement, in a storefront. I pastored a church while going to college. It was launched in a storefront. It started with 7 people. And it grew. We had 30, but we were all about evangelism. And that's point number 4. Before I get there, let me say this. Number 3, the church is the dwelling place where God is going to manifest. It is the dwelling of God here on the earth right now. It is where his word, it becomes the pillar and ground of truth. That's where it's the holder and defender and proclaimer and hopefully clearly obeyer of the word of God and the works of God. Yes, the gifts of the Spirit and the fellowship and the joy and worship. Worship is a privilege. It is the joy. Prayer, massive privilege, and especially when we do it in the power of the Spirit of God. Now, that's part of the church, what it is. But let me tell you something, whether you're in a local, if you're creating a local church in your home, don't make it a SMOTS, a secret meeting of the saints. Don't make it us four and no more. The body of Christ, by its head and founder, the Lord Jesus, commanded and commissioned, go make disciples of all nations. Go to the highways and the byways. We read it in the Gospel of Mark, the command to go in all the world and preach good news to every creature. I don't care if you're a local house church, if you're meeting in a tent, if you're meeting in a cave or a cathedral or whatever building it can be. You have to be evidencing the Great Commission. The local churches had to be a part of the Great Commission. And that, when I say evangelism, please understand I mean it biblically. Evangelism involves the inclusion of healing, deliverance, feeding people, clothing people, housing people if needed. It involves discipleship and bringing folks right into the body and being baptized to a public identification of their faith and a public identification within the body of Christ. When people get saved, they're baptized into the body. That's the natural place to take them. When my daughter was born, I brought her home. You think I'm going to leave her at the hospital for other people? She wasn't theirs. God's church, God's people. When somebody's born again, that child needs to be brought right home to the body of Christ. So when I say evangelism, I include all that, but evangelism is the center frontline commission. Number 5, it is that body, that church that will be glorified. When Christ comes, there will be a glorification. Now, let me tell you this, because we only have about 6 minutes left here tonight. We're going so much to say, and we only have this chunk of time. How you doing with it? The Lord bless you. The Lord encourage you. The Lord strengthen you. May the Spirit of God fall upon you in power. May God ignite revival in your house church, revival in your storefront building church, revival in your big building church. May it be all that it is supposed to be. Look at the book of Acts, great field manual for the end of days. Now, the promises in the church, 4 things I want to share quickly. 1, Jesus said it in Matthew 16, I will build my church. Don't worry, he's in charge of that worldwide. Here in America, we can say, well, there's probably 100 million believers. I don't know how many there are nowadays because of the mixture. Some say in China there may be up to 300 million believers. and mostly without the kind of big buildings. They're meeting in houses and meeting in the middle of the night and so forth. So around the world, Jesus is building his church. He is saving people and connecting them to his body, and they are marked by the Spirit of God, and their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when Christ comes and the dead in Christ rise first, then we who are alive worldwide, instantaneously, the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be snatched away, glorified. One massive body. He's building his church. You can be sure of that. He's going to do that to the very end. And number two, he'll be with us. Matthew 28 says, I will be with you, well, to the very end of the age. So count on it, the living, full presence of the living Christ all the way to the very end, all of what he says, his the power of the Spirit of God, the power of sign and wonder, the power of his living presence. Number three, I like Philippians 1:6, but I apply it to the whole of the church. The Word of God says, and Paul says this by the Spirit of God's leading with confidence, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion, to the very day of Christ. That what God begins, he will carry on by the power of the Spirit of God. And the way that God works, he will build your life. Your life's not over. Get out of that secondary, listen, stop it. You've been called to be under the lordship of Christ. He who began a good work in your life, he'll carry it on to completion to the very day of Christ. Are you open to that? Are you willing? Are you ready to grow? You know, lay aside all the lies of the enemy, all the past sins repent of, and surrender to the lordship of Christ again. And in the mix of the highest ramping up of the dark side, become all that God wants you to be in manifesting his presence, power, grace, mercy, and love to the world. To reach many others. And many of those that you reach, they're going to be Satanists. They're going to be New Agers. They're going to be pagan. They're going to be all kinds of stuff. The power of the gospel was able to save Saul of Tarsus. The power of the gospel is not hindered by anyone's prior engagement. But how can they believe in whom they've not heard? You and I have been given and clothed with the power of the Spirit of God to be witnesses of Christ. It is the most empowered message in the hands of humanity. There's nothing higher. Now, there's a lot of counterfeit and spiritual other stuff, but there's nothing higher than what God is doing. And so this promise that he's going to complete, keep on working until the day of Christ. And then fourthly, Jesus says, take a look at it, John's Gospel 14. He's going to go away and prepare a place, and then he's going to come back for us. That's right. There is a second coming. There is a glorification. There is indestructible immortality. There is the end to all evil. There is a putting down of the Antichrist and all the rest. Well, you read about it, 1 Thessalonians 4, a hope that the world doesn't have, you have, Christian. This is Rust Is Dark. Keep us in your prayers. Keep us in your support. We love you. Good night.